listening to The Cooler Ring, a podcast made for manufacturing marketers. Here are Carmen Perry and Jeff White.
Welcome to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White, and joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how are you doing, sir?
All is well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. I think it appeals to the Canadian sensibility, I think, because we're kind of, you know, we like to think of ourselves as being partway between Europe and the U.S. in some way, like maybe attitudinally or culture. I don't know what it is, but we try to wear that badge a little bit. And today's guest is joining us in the U.S., but via Germany. And so, you know, I guess he's going to be able to be the ultimate judge as to whether or not our Canadianism is a good bridge between these two markets or not.
I think this just comes down to the fact that you and I would both quite happily move to Berlin for at least part of the year.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, the winters aren't any worse than they are up here, I don't think, in Halifax. So, I mean, they're not great, but it's can't be any worse. So, yeah, I'd agree with that. But look, we're not here to be Berlin's tourism voice.
No, but as good Canadians, we did manage to work the weather into another intro.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah,
sorry about that. So, but yeah, very much looking forward.
Will people get the apology joke? I don't know if they will.
I don't know.
Look, let's get on with it. I'm excited for today's conversation.
Me as well. So joining us today is Sandra Babick. Sandra is the Director of Marketing Americas for EBM Pabst. Welcome to the Cooler Ring, Sandra.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be a part of today's session.
This international delving into issues of bringing European companies and products to North America.
Yeah. And I must say, Jeff, you pronounce the name of the company much smoother than I think I would have been able to. But like EBM Pabst doesn't. Well, okay, it rolled off the tongue. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Enough Pabst blue ribbon, and you're good to go.
Sandra, if you would introduce our listeners to EBM Pabst, and we'd love to learn more about how you ended up there.
Of course. So EBM Pabst is a world-leading manufacturer for fans and drives. So we started our history around about 60 years ago. So just last year, we had our big 60th anniversary that we celebrated. And within the past years, we just grew much more into an international factor. So currently, we have about 14,000 employees worldwide, different subsidiaries all over the world, also manufacturing subsidiaries and sales subsidiaries. So yeah, just have been blessed with great experiences and efforts in the past years and the opportunity to grow. And I guess that EBM Pabst is very special for our sustainability efforts. So that has always been a part of our DNA. And we're happy that we can just kind of make the world better every day. And our tagline speaks for that, with engineering a better life. And that's our everyday goal, to improve just the world from whatever angle we can do. And so for myself, I started to work at EBM Pabst 5 years ago as the personal assistant to our VP Marketing and Brand Management. And I gained valuable insights into just the strategic setup of a company and how to strategically align the marketing. I was also able to be responsible for the international marketing management in Europe. So that was the point when I learned more about outside Germany countries and their challenges and efforts. And finally, I was able to relocate to the US, and that's where I'm at now, and just trying to bring the spirit also to the Americas region.
Well, that is moving to the US yourself shows the commitment to this expansion effort that's underway.
Absolutely.
It seems like a real investment in the localization of the firm, trying to really, what's interesting to me is some people try to do it from afar, if you will, but that's not what you're doing. I'd like to understand more of the strategy at play. How big is the operations here in the U.S. right now?
So we have around about 500 employees in the U.S. currently, and we're looking to double that within the upcoming years because we see so much market potential in the U.S. that we're not yet taking. However, I think the biggest step and probably the best recent step we did at EBM Pabst is to reconsider our structure. So as most German companies, we thought we were an international or global company. However, it was our headquarters in Germany, pretty much thinking for the whole world, trying to figure out the best products for different markets. However, what we understood is it's just not possible. It's better if we enable the regions more, if we give them the necessary knowledge also to develop the products that are needed in their markets. And so that was a great success for us to reconsider that and give the people the opportunity also to relocate. So the same way as I did, a lot of other people who have specific knowledge relocated to the regions. And now just try to help them set up the processes and structures and leave after a certain while. And hopefully so that structure and efforts just remain once they leave. But we definitely see it makes more sense to enable local forces instead of keep thinking from a distance.
Is there, I mean, we've seen this a number of different ways where there's often kind of a mothership of marketing, you know, within the head office region in Europe and then a small kind of outpost. But it sounds to me like you're not just sort of taking what's provided from Germany and redeploying it in the Americas, you're instead, you know, thinking about products from the ground up as they are specific to meet the needs of the customer base in there as well. How is that approach being leveraged from the marketing and sales perspective?
Correct. So as our products are different in the markets, we also need to think about how we align our marketing. So we do have the biggest marketing team in our headquarters. We have around about 40 people in our team with different specialties like digital, also show management, content marketing, brand management. So I think that we have been working together on a global scale for years, however, now more than ever. So we do try to share our resources. However, what we also do is to enable the regions and also to look into bigger hubs in the regions. For example, we have a bigger hub now in the US. We have a bigger marketing hub in China because it just is different. We do try to create global campaigns. However, do the necessary adaptations according to the cultural differences.
I want to understand a bit of what you're experiencing from a cultural difference perspective as you market in the Americas. You mentioned about the sustainability focus of EBM Pabst earlier. That's an area where I think it's largely considered that European manufacturers maybe have a bit of a head start, and perhaps the European market is a bit more. Maybe sustainability messaging resonates with them a little bit more than maybe what you experience in the US. Is that what you found?
Well, surely no. However, I was told the exact same thing you just said. So it's interesting, sustainability plays a big role in Germany and in Europe. I wouldn't say all over Europe, because there are differences from one country to another. But like for Germany, we're probably one step ahead from other countries. And it is a very important topic. Definitely, we try to do everything to improve our world and just our efforts so we can just be sustainable. However, I was told that, well, you'll experience it's not important in the US, so it's not a big deal. And I'm like, I wonder if that's true. So what I did is just some investigation. So I talked to customers, I talked to our distributors, I went to events that were talking just about that topic, and also asking other marketeers and other companies about, hey, so which role does sustainability play for you? Watching TV shows about different states. And what I've learned, it is a topic. So it is definitely important here as well. So maybe we're not on an equal level regarding the efforts with Germany, but I do see that it is an important topic in the US as well. And we're trying to find ways to be more sustainable. How we are composting trash, for example, or different ways. So there are different things that people and companies do to be more sustainable in their efforts. And so I guess it's really not a difference. And so that's also what we are doing for EBM Pabst. So we built another factory in Tennessee that is just building EC motors, just building those more sustainable and efficient motors. And at first I thought, well, it's going to be tricky to market these if the market is really not interested in. However, learning that the market is definitely interested in and even willing to pay more for a product that is more efficient. So that's just interesting and definitely not so different from what I've heard initially.
Well, that's encouraging, frankly. I'm glad that perception hasn't proven to be true. What would you say has been the biggest difference?
My biggest difference is the messaging and just the perception of messaging. So comparing to Germany, we're all about facts and figures. So if we try to pick a supplier or if we try to pick a product, we do like to dig into the details like initially. And I personally do that too. However, what I've learned here in the US, it seems to be a little bit different. So there has to be something that's catching, like a certain messaging that's catching, a story that's catching. And I guess that's what I'm also reconsidering in the marketing from EBM Pabst. So I do take our campaigns from their already existing or from before, but I look at them from the perspective of an American person. Like, what is the story we're telling with it? So it's not just facts and figures and people be like, well, so what's in for me? So I rather think about telling the story and answering what's in for me instead of giving too many details right from the beginning. So I guess that's a very big difference.
I have to think, I mean, it almost sounds too obvious. You know, we expect, you know, that the anticipation of German precision and manufacturing and engineering, you know, the perception that we have of that, you know, and kind of you're able to go to market in Europe with primarily the features and benefits of the product, but in the US you're having to weave more of a story into it. It's like, it's kind of course, but at the same time, it also must be a bit of a challenge to kind of to adapt that messaging and create something new. But it sounds like you have a good foundation for that at least.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's just a great learning. And I can definitely say for sure it was a great step or a right step also for me to come here. So initially, I thought, well, you know, in our new remote world, I could just do it remotely and just kind of support the team or delete the team from far. But I learned very quickly that it would have not been the great step or the right step. So it's definitely better to live in the country for a while, to get to know the people, to get to know the culture, and just how do people take marketing and messaging. So that was a great learning and definitely helpful for me.
It's interesting to consider that, you know, often marketing to engineers tends to be characterized as that very literal approach that you kind of mentioned, maybe is highlighted more in Germany, where it's facts, figures, what are the features and benefits of the product, what are the specs. You know, it's interesting that to hear that, you know, you're still marketing to engineers, you're still having to get to that same audience, but doing so in a, I guess, in a more creative way potentially. Are you finding that does it run counter to the brand image or how you tend to view the brand in Germany when you start to kind of make it resonate with the US? Or is it pushing you into uncomfortable territory for the brand, I guess?
I don't think so. So I think that our branding works just fine in this region as well. And just the original messaging, like engineering a better life or tagline, we can represent it here just as fine. Because at the end of the day, it's always a person we're trying to target. I know it's an engineer and maybe it's a less emotional targeting or messaging. However, it's just a person we're trying to target with our messaging and talk about our benefits working with EBM Pabst, not just a product. It's also about what do you get working with us? So how is a personal relationship? And therefore, that's not a challenge, I think.
As you go to market in the US, do you get a bit of a free pass on quality because you're a German company? Jeff mentioned it earlier, like kind of those impressions of that of German quality. And I guess, do you find that?
Well, I was surprised by that. I know that we have great quality products in Germany and also looking into the automotive industry. However, I wasn't aware of the perception outside Germany about our quality. So that was super interesting. And I think it is helpful initially, but at the end of the day, if you don't keep your promises, you can, you know, have whatever background. So I think that just keeping our promises, making sure that we walk the talk, that we represent the quality that maybe our culture represents or our background represents from having a headquarter company in Germany. And I think that's what our customers also experience. So even if we see failures, because that happens for whatever company, but it's how are we dealing with it? Which people do we have in our company that support the customer with the failures? What happens afterwards? So like the after sales part is very important for us. And that was also a part we changed with the restructuring. So in the past, again, it was like our biggest quality management team in Germany supporting outside. But growing our quality management team in the US was important as well. Because again, it's culture. How do you take failures? How do you help a customer with it? It's just more personalized. And I think from a bigger angle, it's the relationship management that's also important in whatever situation you face with a customer.
I really love that because, you know, you can have the quality and the perception of quality with the German-made product, but if the staff and the team on the ground in the US isn't experiencing that, you know, as a real kind of ethos of the firm and kind of developing their own quality mantras in the States, it would probably fail because you're just two arms length from the from Germany. So
right. Absolutely. So however, what we also do is, and that was a good point you just mentioned, it's the people who manufacture or who work in different departments like customer relationships. So what we do at EBM Pabst here, so we do also manufacture products in the US and we do trainings with our people to be more customer centric because we're a supplier for just like parts and they just see the fan initially, but giving them an idea of, well, this is the application your fan goes into. And if those fans fail, this is what happens. And that was very important for our employees because that was a moment for them to realize I play such an important role into making this world function. So if a data center doesn't run anymore, you know, we cannot do so many things. And I think that was important for them because now they think about their work differently. And it's even more effort then. It has been before because they know they have the bigger view of it.
The other thing I'm wondering is you mentioned that part of the strategy of fanning out into the different regions was to develop that on the ground expertise and to learn about what was absolutely needed in those areas that might be different from what you were typically building and selling in Germany. Has it gone the other way? Have you been feeding anything up from a marketing and sales process perspective to the headquarters? And have they been adopting anything that you've learned that might be unique?
Well, definitely we're starting to do that. And it's interesting because since we're now more connected all over the regions and it's not like still centralized and thinking for the world from a German perspective, it's interesting how much knowledge we trickle back. And that was also one of the reasons why we've been sending out peoples to relocate to the countries, to bring back that knowledge, to train the colleagues also who work in the headquarter, to understand the outside subsidiaries more. So I think enforcing more travel, like more long-term travel, is important to learn more about the world. And yeah, so definitely also for marketing, gaining very important insights by just networking events, for example, and giving back that knowledge to the other teams all over the world. So that definitely applies.
We always risk bouncing around a little bit here on this podcast, I find. But I guess I've been curious to ask about, I mean, of course, most manufacturing marketing is about marketing that supports a fairly lengthy sales process and a fairly involved often sales process. I'm curious how different the sales process is in the U.S. versus Germany.
From my perspective, the relationship part is even more important. So not saying that relationship management isn't important in Germany or in Europe, so definitely as well. But it feels like for our customers here, it might be even more important to have a good relationship to their suppliers and maybe to know them from a personal level as well, and just to enjoy working together. So it's not just a work relationship. So it's even more than that, and building up the trust. Trusting is important in Germany as well, but it's just another level of trust for that. So I think that's very important for us to just keep our promises, keep what we're saying, so we don't risk the trust that we build with our customers. So we also do look into opportunities to meet personally. So this is why we have salespeople all over the U.S., all over Canada, in Mexico, because they speak the language their customers speak as well. And they can keep up the relationship because they're close to a customer. So we definitely want to be close to them. And if we get a call from them, like, can you be in and can we have a meeting? We're like, well, definitely, we will do that. So that's just a relationship management, I think, that helps us keeping the work or sales relationships for a long time.
What do you think has been the biggest challenge or the biggest perception that maybe you had coming into the market that you've had to change?
I think it's, It was great for the recent years. So we are here in the U.S. since 40 years with our manufacturing and sales team. So I think the biggest change, which is helpful, is the localization. So it was a challenge that we haven't localized the products that are needed here, that it might take maybe a little bit longer regarding the lead times to supply the products for the customer. So being closer to the customer, being able to manufacture more products here to develop the products that the customer needs for their application. So this is helpful. So for almost 40 years, we were somewhat of a distributor, mainly just producing or manufacturing a few parts locally. However, just increasing that portfolio, this is very helpful. Like long-term too.
You're not the first German manufacturer to kind of make the move into North America and other areas, but you know, it sounds like the approach has been particularly successful. Why do you think other German companies or other European companies trying to make this move might not be as successful?
That's a very interesting question. So before I relocated to the US, I was investigating a bit about companies who failed. Or experts who failed coming to the U.S. and just trying to create new processes or improving their marketing, for example. And what I've learned is most of the companies were not open to the culture. They just tried to copy what we did in Germany. And also the other way around, like there are some U.S. Companies that try to gain more market share in Europe or in Germany, and they failed. And I think that's the biggest point. You cannot just say, well, copy and paste and it will work out. You know, it's just working out fine in Germany. Why shouldn't it work out fine in the US? Well, it's a much bigger country. Within the country, we have somewhat different cultural levels. So the states differentiate one from another. And I think that's the biggest step, to be open, to maybe have a certain foundation or an idea of your company, but give it some more room to apply to the local needs. So you can't just force what works in other countries and think it's going to work the same way. So I do see that many companies that are headquartered in Europe and expanded their their companies to the US, they do keep a certain foundation of their product portfolio, but they also have some things that are just special for the region. I think that's important to be open and just leave the room for that.
And you make an interesting point there that I don't necessarily know that a lot of people outside of North America would understand, but Vermont and Arkansas might as well not be part of the same country. They're very different places. And you have that across the entire country where, you know, really the states are individually quite unique. Whereas I think, you know, if you look at, you know, not to make generalized stereotypes, but if you look at in Europe, you know, most of France is kind of, you know, it's France. And Germany, kind of the same thing. The divisions within it aren't quite as stark as they might be from state to state.
I feel like we're just opening up a can of worms. Like there's somebody's going to start talking to us about how different Bavaria is from northern Germany. You're going to have French people calling into the show saying, Jeff doesn't know what he's talking about.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. They might do that. So that's not really where America is very, very.
No, it is very. It's very different from region to region. I think you're quite right. We've even there's been some interesting studies done about that and actually mapping societal attitudes in different regions in Canada and which regions in the U.S. most align. Kind of fascinating because you look at the most conservative areas of Canada. When you strip away the partisan politics of it and you look at just societal attitudes and cultural attitudes, they're actually closest to the most liberal parts of the U.S., which kind of shows you just how, goes to show us how much the more conservative areas of the U.S. are very different than the conservative areas of Canada, as an example. So it is an interesting regional differences, and I think your point is taken, Sandra. The differences in desire for trust building and for that relationship building to power the sales process would be different as well. From even within regions in the U.S., I would suppose.
Yeah. And I think, which is the biggest difference, is just the level of convenience that's demanded here. So I feel it's so much more about convenience in the U.S. compared to Germany. So we might tend to be a little bit complicated and maybe do a little bit more steps. And I do feel that, like, here it's just about making less steps. So...
Is there a trade-off in price sensitivity? Like, do you find that the American market maybe isn't as price sensitive but demands more convenience, or do they just want their cake and eat it too?
I want to say yes. So, yeah, I think so, that it applies.
That's why the U.S. is such a great market for us, Carmen.
Look, it's never let it be said that it's not a wonderful country.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so much to offer.
Yeah, it's a fantastic place to do business, I find as well. This has been just a terrific conversation, Sandra. I really enjoyed having you on the show today. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
Well, me too. Thank you so much. It was great.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Cooler Ring with Carmen Perry and Jeff White. Don't miss a single manufacturing marketing insight. Subscribe now at kulapartners.com/thecoolerring. That's KULA partners.com/thecoolerring.